Matthew Gospel 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said, and or we've always said, that that means whatsoever Matthew is about to write to you, he expects that whoever is reading the book of Matthew already has a background of who David is. Alright. Sometimes we say words like Old Testament, you know, this one is gone. No. Matthew says, if you are going to read about Jesus in what we call the New Testament, then you have to have a knowledge about David and Abraham. So, apparently, our knowledge of Genesis to Malachi is important for what we call the New Testament. I say it this way, you cannot teach a truth properly without reading Genesis to Malachi. There is no truth in the scriptures you can properly explain. There's no body of truth that gets how do I put it there? Authority without Genesis. So Genesis to Malachi, or the words of the prophet, informs our knowledge, our understanding. Is that clear? And we are going to look at Genesis, especially 1 and 2 today a bit, while we're talking about who is the greatest. And we said, is that question a good question? Don't forget, on Wednesday, we're also looking at questions. And we said, I told you something, I said, if you don't ask the right questions, you cannot get wiser. Wisdom is a function of the quality of questions you have asked. Is a function of the quality of questions you have asked. My teacher used to say something when I was in, I almost said high school, when I was in secondary school. He says, if you don't have questions, it's either you understand everything or you don't understand anything. You know, when you don't understand anything, you can't have a question. Those who stay at the back of the class. Any question? I remember even in university, when the lecturer wants to finish the class, I just say, any question? There are some in the front. It used to vex me. Because I want to go and watch ball, or I want to go and play, or I just want to go and say, yes, sir. Sir, you were talking about the spinal cord. Oh, God, we will learn eventually. It's not like what he will explain is what we bring at the exam. Let us go. We know you will pass. Amen. And, you know, and I used to get angry at those people. In fact, one of my friends, Ebuka, one day went to challenge one of those that used to ask questions. Say, you, next time you ask, you know, say, I get meeting. Next time you ask questions, delay us. Because the man actually had delayed, I think, the class was going to end like 4. We are ending around 4:35. And then you are still asking questions. Why? The girl was almost crying. I had to go and say, leave her. Why are you? We are both students. You both have matric numbers. I don't want you. But questions are part of life. I mean, good questions. There are people in the scriptures that ask stupid questions. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That's a stupid question. Amen. Who sinned? This man or his parent that was born blind? John 9. Those are functions of, that, those questions are functions that you have not read anything. So, there are intelligent questions, and there are stupid questions. You have to ask the right, proper question. You know, there was a question someone asked me one time. I said, why do people fall under the power? When hands are laid, why do people fall? I was asking, I don't understand. He said, yeah, that people now get up, clothes dirty, and they think they are doing charismatic. And when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, did you think that when he was going on, the clothes were neat? You know, Bible says he was carried away. Imagine leaving a meeting and you are literally two people are supporting and carrying out. You say, what kind of church is that? No. Say, why is that the cameraman does not fall? That's your problem. That's a stupid question. Amen. Obviously, it's a matter of reception. If I don't want to receive, I don't receive. The cameraman is there for his job. Amen. And he's going to do his job excellently well. If he falls, if I hire a cameraman, there is no glorious church member for a meeting, and he comes and he starts falling, I understand. Amen. I respect that you are in the move. But God, your balance will not be complete. You know, because you're not there for that. And that's why, naturally, we choose to always contract people outside. Hallelujah. And the one that is inside, we know that if we don't get some pictures, we understand. Hallelujah. But they are intelligent questions. When the angel met Mary, and the angel measured everything, he will sit on the throne of his father David. He will be called the son of the Lord Most High. He said many wonderful things. Mary is a smart woman. I told you, God chose two smart people. In Mary and Joseph. Marry someone that is smart. He said, I understand all of these things. She didn't get carried away. The next question she asked is, how can these things be? I don't know a man. She didn't say, when will it happen? So me now, what will now happen to me? I will now become the mother of God. No. She asked intelligent question. How will this happen? Let's go back to the start. You said I will get pregnant. How? So questions are part of our spiritual growth. The ability to understand to a point that you can ask proper questions. So we said, who is the greatest in the church of God? Who is the greatest? What a question. And you know, this question, you can't dismiss it because the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 18. Matthew Gospel 18, verse 1. At the same time came disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So we are looking at greatness. And last week we said, greatness is God's desire for us, right? And I said, God wants you to be great in your natural endeavor. Let's start from there. We had people in the scriptures who, and I'm going to point that out much more later, who were great naturally. And they served the Lord. Philemon was one of them. Philemon was a wealthy man. We look at Erastus in Romans 16. Great man. We have Joseph Arimathea. Great man. We had Abraham. Who was already wealthy before God called him. Of course, he got wealthier, but he was already wealthy. And so, God wants you to be great. That's the only thing that God wants you to be great. You know, so that's reasoning that once I start serving God, I might not be the greatest in my career. I'm actually fall behind. It's not a good reason. It's not a good way to think. I know there are a lot of Christocentric brothers that think like that. Pastor told us, I just set aside the cares of this world. I fall in love with you again. I just throw away. Don't throw away your career, Biko. Strive for excellence. I do. To the best of my abilities. Amen. And so, we said, does natural greatness or greatness in the natural, does it equate greatness in the kingdom of God? Come on, we've answered the question. Does it equate greatness in the kingdom of God? No. Can both exist? All right, good. Come, Matthew goes to 20. Verse 20. Then came unto him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him, desiring a certain thing of him. Now, this is the mother of James and John. And he said unto her, what do you want me to do? And she said unto him, grant this my two sons, that one sits on your right hand and the other on your left in the kingdom. Interesting. So they said, mommy, help us talk to pastor. And Jesus answered and said, I don't think you know what you're asking of. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be able to be baptized with the baptism that we baptize of? And they said unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and baptize with baptism and baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It shall be given to them whom is prepared for by my father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two. So, you cannot really blame James and John. It means the remaining 10 who are thinking of it. You know, I understand that we are all serving Jesus. Rabbi, Rabboni, Master. Oh, I love him. Oh, among us, who is the greatest? Okay, after him. Have you had an argument before in secondary school? Say, we know that this one is the most brilliant. So after him now. My own secondary school, there's no, the guy, you cannot argue with him. I used to mention his name. Maybe I'll give him a call. He has been bugging my Facebook for a while. I'll give him a call. You know,
feel like you hated him.
You know when you have read so much and someone is still forced. So what's the point? I hated him. I prayed against him. I recruited some of other guys. We cursed him under a tree like that. Where's Bolade? You know the tree that's close to that field? One big tree that's close to the chapel. I stayed there like this, 6 p.m. Everybody had gone home. I said, I cursed you that time. As long as you pass under this tree. He still called it. He still was first. The fact that you hate someone does not mean that God hates the person. Now, I was in secondary school. Don't say that pastor is to curse. I beg. You know, I cursed him. I did everything. The guy will be first in English. He'll still be first in Yoruba. What kind of person are you? Live small. There was a time like that. I was just reading chemistry. The chemistry teacher knew I was reading chemistry. He would call me to explain to the class. Mr. Alufoye. He would call me to summarize. I would go to staff. He would give me the notes. He knows that I already know. Ababio, I finished it. I'm serious. I finished Ababio more than 10 times. I'm serious. I had 86, which was record breaking in the school at that time. As they were giving my script, I ran towards that guy. He was playing football. I ran to where he was. He said, Shinyong, I heard you broke record. What did you get? I was not comfortable. 86. What did you get? He said, oh, I just tried my best. He just gave me his script. I went to play ball. 87. That day was the most horrible day for me in that school. 87. I'm serious. I've not forgotten. Is that many years now? It's close to two decades. And I'm still here. Close to two decades. I still remember that day. He went just threw it at me. He said, check. I went to play ball. 87. Is the greatest. So, you have that kind of conversation. Say, after that time, me, you, Zachariah, Dari, he's a pastor in Redeem now. Dari, there's one who's called Beauty. He's also a pastor in Redeem now. He used to drink, but now he's a pastor. Amen. Thank God. We want more testimonies like that. Amen. You know, when you call someone Beauty. Legon. Beauty. So we still have one say, after that time, remaining of us, who do you think? You know, so the disciples are asking questions like that. Everybody just agreed, it cannot be Judas. Just kidding. You know, so who is the greatest? They all wanted it. Sometimes we ask questions like that. They were looking to be executive partners. But look at what Jesus said. Verse 25. Matthew 20. But Jesus called unto him and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. Interesting. Let one sit on my right and the other on the left. They wanted position. Lord, make me great. Is that prayer? God, make me great. Are you sure you want to be great? Because greatness in God's kingdom is different from greatness in the natural. They are totally different. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, you know that among the Gentiles, the princes of the Gentiles, those who are great among them exercise authority upon them. And let's look at Genesis. Look at Genesis 2. I'll show you something. Don't forget, we've taught Genesis 1, 2, 3 to be, the context of Genesis 1, 2, 3 will be what? A supernatural world, right? Of course, you must get used to the metaphors, the light. Let there be light, of course. And there was no sun. There was no sun. The sun was created much later. The moon was created much later, but there was light. Then it says, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the water. What spirit there? The wind of God. Then you see a serpent talking. You know, those are supernatural instances. Don't forget, the serpent is not ordinary. Right? It's not like you say, who is in the garden? A little serpent. No. The serpent is supernatural. A supernatural being. Which eventually, Paul tells us is the devil, right? Come on. John tells us that old serpent, the devil. In Revelation 19. Alright? So again, don't forget the context of Genesis 1, 2, 3 is a supernatural world. I've seen people say, Garden of Eden, that's where we are going back to. If all we live for is the Garden of Eden or Jerusalem, that one day a new Jerusalem will come. That it will be too small for believers. Amen. So again, you must look at the context of Bible language. I think we have dealt with that in some of our teachings. Alright, Genesis 2. Learn something? Come on, learning something. Alright, Genesis chapter 2. Again, don't forget, we're looking at who is the greatest. And someone said, is he Ronaldo? Is he Messi? Alright, in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he had formed. So, don't forget, in verse 7 he said, God breathed his the breath of life into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. Then he put him in the garden. And the word garden there is actually the garden of God. It's a supernatural space, of course. The garden of Eden is the garden of God. That's why it was man who left the garden, not God. You can call it the house of God, the kingdom of God. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put man where he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree to grow, and all of that. But look at verse 15, Genesis 2. Are you there? And the Lord God took the man he had made, and he put him in the garden to dress and to keep it. To dress and to keep it. Now, don't forget, we said that garden is the garden of God. God's house. God's mansion. God's space. And that's why when man sinned, man was the one that left, not God, because it's God's house. Now, God now put man to dress and to keep it. Now, I've seen people say, that means, I remember there's a motivational speaker like that in 2015, thereabout. He said something like, that means when God made man, the first thing he gave him was a job. You must have heard that before. He gave him a job. That your career is your first ministry, is your first. Then, saying that means we are all horticulturists by identity. We are all farmers. That's wrong. I'm not a farmer. I love farming. I would like to get a project on that, but I'm not a farmer right now. I'm not an horticulturist. What God said, observe. Because, and that's why there's the beauty of the Greek and the Hebrew. He said, he put man to dress and to keep it. Those two things were priestly duties. The word dress there is the word abad in the Hebrew. A-B-A-D. Abad. Now, the noun is ebed. E-B-E-D. Which is a servant. But abad is to serve. So when he says, he put man to dress it, that's to serve. To serve in the garden. To serve in the garden. The word keep there is the word shamar. S-H-A-M-A-A-R. S-H-A-M-A-A-R. Now, both words, to dress and to keep, they are priestly duties. They are things you see priests do. You find it in Genesis 14:4. Genesis 14. I'll just read some. You just write down. 12 years they served Chidolama, and in the 13th year they were rebelled. Genesis 15 verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that their seed shall be in a stranger land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them. That word serve is the word abad. The word you sign as dress. See how two distinctive English words mean the same thing. Dress, serve. Who would have thought? But that is the beauty of reading in original languages. And people have said, why would you go to original? That is when you want to keep something. No, it's when you want to explain something. Now, to dress the garden means actually to serve in the garden. To serve there. Genesis 25, verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And one of the other people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Shall serve. You also find in Genesis 27 verse 29, Genesis 27 verse 40. I'll just read out some. Genesis 29 verse 15, Genesis 29 verse 18, Genesis 29 verse 20. I'll come again. So we've read Genesis 14:4, Genesis 15:13, Genesis 25:23, Genesis 27:29. Genesis 27:40, Genesis 29:15, Genesis 29:18, Genesis 29:20, Genesis 30:26, Genesis 30:29, Genesis 31:6, Genesis 49:15. So, by nature, our identity is that we are servants of God. Should I run through those scriptures again? Okay, Genesis 14:4, 15:13, 25:23, 27:29, 27:40, 29:15, 29:18, 29:20, 30:26, 30:29, 31:6, 49:15. So we said they are priestly duties. It's not career. So God from the beginning put an identity on the new creation. He will serve in the garden of God. He will serve in the house of God. He will dress and keep it. Say, I'm a priest of God. Oh, come on. I thought you said that very boldly. I'm a priest of God. You know, 1 Peter 2:9, I said, you're a royal priesthood. God made the new creation a priest. Moses told, he told Joshua, he said, God willing, God's will is that every of his own people are priests. Are priests. Are prophets. Alright? So, it is in the house of God to serve in the house of God. You know, say, we are no longer servants. We are now sons. How can we not be both? We are both servants and sons of God. So I'm a servant of God. You know, you keep seeing the writer of the epistles kept saying the same thing. I, Paul, a servant. I, Paul, a bond servant. You know, they kept mentioning something about Jude that was the brother of Jesus in the natural. He said, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. You must see yourself like that. I'm a servant of the Lord. So it's a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great, sing it now, to serve, it is a great, sing it like you mean it, let the devil be ashamed, walking in the light, wait, you know, now, imagine you meet someone, you finish secondary school with. I remember someone told me, he said, you're too, he said some words, and said, to just do all your life and you are just pastoring. I know you now. You should be able to. I know you. I know the ambitions you had. I said, it is a great thing to serve. This is the greatest I will be. It is a great thing to serve. Unashamed. It is a great thing to serve. Walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. That's what I'm saying. It is a great thing. Never let the devil deceive you. That's how you are great. It is a great thing. You are great. Huh? To serve the Lord. Walking. Go back to Matthew 20. So we said, by identity, God's purpose for the new creation is to dress and keep in the garden of God. We are servants in the house of God. Matthew 20. So, who am I? Who really am I? I'm a servant. God made me a servant in his house. Matthew 20. So, they came and said, So, let one of my sons sit on the right. Let one say, I'm very sure they will still fight on who will sit on the right and the left. But right now, against the 10, let's first get the positions. Who sits on the right? Who sits on the left? And the other 10 too are saying, hey, you think we don't have mothers too? Peter said, even if I don't have mother, I have mother-in-law. You want to sit? Sit where? Jesus said, calm down. Verse 25. You know, and it happens. You see people fighting to be pastors. But Jesus called and said, you know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. The word princes, there's the word archon, A-R-C-H-O-N, the rulers. You find it 37 times in New Testament Greek. The rulers. The ones that lords over people. Said, you know the princes of Gentiles, they exercise dominion over them. They exercise dominion over them. The princes of Gentiles, I can't, it's almost a title. There are people who love titles. A believer must never live for titles. So, when they don't call you pastor and they call you bro, you're angry. Why are you angry? Why? I remember I went to preach somewhere. On the island. That was recently. And I got there early. The point is God instructed me not to even tell anyone. So it was, I got back. That was when I was informing Broshola. And he was angry. Not angry. Why you? What was the emotion now? He was not happy that I didn't tell him. But I was in structure. So I got there. I got there very early. I got there with just my bag and they were arranging the chairs. So I joined in arranging. It was a pastoral meeting. I think about 40 pastors were there. So I joined in arranging and apparently they've been having the meeting. They've been having, it's a school. They've been having the classes and it was just my own turn to teach. It was a privilege. And so I joined them in arranging the chairs and all that. So when the meeting started and I was the one to teach, the funny thing is, one of the people arranged just said, please bring that, your bro, bring this stuff. And of course, there's really nothing. Why should I say, how will be bread, don't you show me? I cannot explain that one. It doesn't have English. You will not be like bread. You know, have you thrown bread inside water before? So when I was called to teach, and I started teaching, this man came to me after. He's an elderly man, probably in his 50s. I didn't know you were the one that wanted to teach us. I said, you didn't do anything wrong, sir. I said, you should bring those stars the other time. I said, no. Baba, we are all believers here. Amen. Amen. And that was the way I was trained in ministry. I remember this same thing has happened in Ibadan some years ago. I think 2013. I went to somewhere and I got there. It was a vigil. I got there early. I tried them in arranging and cleaning. There should be nothing wrong doing that as a believer. So, I see young people like myself, bishop. There's nothing wrong in calling yourself bishop. I started calling myself apostle since probably I was 14. I even printed it at the back of my clothes. I have clothes, apostle. Hey, well, you know those clothes? There was one Arsenal jersey. Apostle number 17. We had a circle. We had bishop. We had reverend. Amen. College of bishops. Was it DJ that was... Well, Barnabas was bishop. We had it. I was apostle number 17. Bishop. So I was talking to someone. He was very close. He said, bishop. So I said, bro, if there's someone that can tell you the truth, I think I can. Why are you a bishop? Who is a bishop? So I just like it. That I don't like pastor. It's too common. Bishop, you have 20 members. Bishop. When you have 20,000, what are we going to call you? Bishop times 2. Calm down. Don't live for titles. Jesus himself was called our servant. A doulos. A minister. You know, the prince of Gentiles, they love titles. If you need position to be respected, then you have not done anything. If you need position so to be respected, then you have not done any work. Every position, every politician in Nigeria now, they have doctor. Honorary. Everybody wants titles. I know what I'm saying. It just became almost like a pandemic. Everybody doctor, 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 doctor. Kiloshele. It's carnality. Amen. The prince of the Gentiles, they want something. That's what we see as greatness in the world. When everybody bows to you, when the people collect your Bible, and people revere you, and you know, you almost want them to say, you are the Lord of upon the throne. Some years ago, someone said, you are the teacher of the body of Christ. I see Paul. I said, you are the principal of the body of Christ. How can you be calling me teacher? Me? I don't know anything. I'm still learning. 10 years from now, I'm still learning. 25 years from now, I'll still be learning. Bouncing baby boy. Amen. You see people trying to corner you into something. What did I teach? I taught what I have heard from someone teach. And you say I'm the teacher of the body of Christ. So the person that now taught me, the person that now taught him, calm down. You see some people, nothing on outreach. You just teach him. Oh, Judah the prophet is there. Oh, Judah there. So do you know that the serpent, it was serpentos. Let me bust your brain. Why are you busting brain? Let me rearrange your mind. Do you know that the word in the beginning, that beginning, you know that it's not time. That one too. Wow, you know what? Yet not I. Calm down. So, because you understand Genesis 1:1 now, fellow, that touch you there. I'm just led to start a ministry. Calm down. don't love positions. You just say, it's not about the position. You are not like the princes of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. You are not like the princes of the Gentiles. He said they exercise dominion over them. They exercise authority. They use their full weight. They want to show they are there. I remember when I was working in Lut, the director of the clinic, the outpatient clinic. You know, and every time he just wants to show. He just wants to show that he's a director. Oh God, I'm not competing with you. You are 35 years into service. It was my first year. And you are seeing me as, the way he was dragging, come over here. I'm the director here. I know. Oh God, I know. I don't even want to be director. I want to run away. If you give me opportunity to run away from here now, just give me, I'll go. Tell me that I've completed my housemanship. I'll leave. And he'll come. So every time, so something happened. One of my friends had a visitor from Nollywood, and so it was Fowls. So we were together and all of that. And the man came. He just wanted to show he's the director. Actually, Adeshino and can you come here? I need that. Why are you outside? We are done seeing the patients at the ASU. That's why we are outside. And we have a visitor. No. Go and prepare for your presentation. I have printed it, sir. I've submitted it on your desk. Say, sir, we are talking to Kenny. Would you like to meet him? Say, introduce me. That's what you want. That's what you wanted. You know, that's the way it is in the world. Everybody wants to show the boss. You get to work. You look at, so, the report, have you submitted it? Why? Because there's a fine girl at reception. The report, have you submitted it? In my office now. Calm down. It is not like that among you. That's what Jesus said. Are you there? So, Matthew 20:25. Let's read it together again. So, he said, you know the prince of the Gentiles has dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority. Can we read verse 26 together? But it shall not be so. Say, it shall not be so among us. It shall not be so among you. That among you is talking about in the church. You find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Those who labor among you. Hebrews 13:7. Honor those who God has placed over you. In Acts 6, look among you, look for seven men who are full of the word and full of the spirit. Honest report. Among you. So among you has to do with the church of Christ. So in this house, it is not so among us that those who are great are those who lord. Those who are great are not those who lord. Those who are great are those who serve. Verse 27, I said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Amen. So, we don't rate people here the way the world rates authority. I was embarrassed one day where an Elijah was given honorary reverend. I'm serious. I've said it before. I'm serious. Elijah. Reverend Elijah. Why? He gives church something another. No! We appreciate, you must appreciate all of that. Good gestures, kind gestures. But giving an Elijah reverend, what were you thinking? I remember someone told me, they made me pastor because I gave them money. He was telling me. He said, they made me pastor because I have money. He said, I hope if I come to your church, it will not be like that. I said, come. If you don't have Bible, they'll ask you, where's your Bible? You think because you are a celebrity? You see, they will lay hands on you in 3 threes. 4-4. Edification. How will lay hands on you without you think you are a celebrity? Go to Yahweh. Who are you? Amen. We need power. I'm the king. I'm a king over you. King. You are healed. Hallelujah. You are healed. Alright. So, again, he said, it shall not be so among you. Those who are going to be chief among you will be your servants. So, a wealthy man that is not serving the Lord is not great here at all. He said, they will be your servant, diaconia, where you have deacon. D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. A waiter. So, God's idea of greatness is a servant. God's idea of greatness is a waiter. And that points us to that Genesis 2, that God made man, or the new creation, to be a waiter, a servant, one who dresses and keeps the garden. So we rate people in the house of God by their service, not by their money, not by their status, not by their influence in the world, not because they've got a lot of followers and, you know, if they just tweet the church or they just post the church, maybe we get a lot of people. I don't want those kind of love of people. We really don't get. We want disciples of God's word, not a lot of people. We want people who love Jesus and wants to serve him. Amen. Not just a lot of people who don't know each other. So we read people here because of what they are doing for the Lord. So it's not out of place to ask, what department are you? It's not out of place. It's not out of place to ask, sorry, what do you do around here? It's not out of place. In fact, when people want to get married, first thing I ask is, what does he do? Even if it's not our local church, what does he do in his church? If it's here, I probably know what the person does. And if he's not doing anything, I'll tell you, let him go, first go and do membership class and start serving the Lord. Say, Pastor, actually, the EU is that, it's not like he doesn't like serving. He just wants to be known. I didn't say if he's a celebrity. I said, is he serving? Does not want to be known. Who wants to be known? Actually, it's not like that. He just wants to be under the radar, just learning the word and all. So if we are all just learning the word and all, yeah, who will set up the mic? Me. I'll teach the word and all. You will learn the word and all. I'll say set up the mic and all. And I'll also go and play the keyboard. And I'll also put on the generator. What else will I do? I also come yesterday to rehearse. So, before I start teaching, I'll go to the keyboard and say, can we just lift our hands and bless the Lord? Pastor has taught us. I have taught us. Greatness is by service. So, he says, whosoever will be great among you, whosoever will be the chief among you, he must be your servant. So, in the world, you exercise lordship by authority. And then you say, oh, no. You know who is the pastor, yeah? You know, can you go, carry my bag? In the church of God, we know the great ones by service. How they serve. And that is the lesson from the resurrection. Where Jesus will put down everything and then he say, for the Father's cause, use me. That is service. To put down yourself, to lay aside yourself for others' use. I just don't want to be served. I don't want people to know me. That's why I'm not serving. I just want to be learning the word. I've been through a lot of experience in the church where I was hot. Church hot. And I have church hot. People go to the hospital, they get hot. But I've not heard of hospital hot. Where you just ate hospitals. I've seen people who don't go to church any longer. At all. Because they were hot by a church. It's a church hot. But you were hot in school and you still go to school. You were hot at work, but you're not born anywhere to resign. Because if you resign, SAPA will sit you down on Saturday and they'll say, you, I will deal with you. So again, what do you do in the house of God? So in this house, we know who is who, not by our car keys. We know who is who, not by our perfume. We know who is who, by what we do in the house of God. So you ask yourself, what am I doing? Who is the greatest in the church of God? We said, the greatest among you will be what? Your servant. Jesus himself was called a servant, or our servant. So you ask yourself, what am I doing in the house of God? You got Romans 16 verse 1. What am I doing in the house of God? Who am I here? Now there are people who have very plain hearts and pure hearts about it. It's not like they don't want to serve, but they just feel they still just need to stay under the radar a bit and then serve. I understand, but nah, that's not the way. Don't let the devil deceive you. God, don't forget where we look at from Genesis 2. He put a man in the garden to dress and to keep. He said to dress and to keep will be what? Priestly duties, right? Abad, Shama, right? Which is to serve in the garden. To prune the Lord's garden. And so the garden is God's house, God's kingdom, right? Romans 16.
I commend you. I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Crenshaw. A servant of the church. See that? See Paul. A servant of the church. A servant of the church. 2 Corinthians. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Can we verse 4 together? But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, necessities, and this is what makes the servant of God. Impatience. Patience. He said, in distresses you will know the one who is truly serving God. In afflictions, when things don't go your way, when it appears like, you know, things are beating you up. He said, that is when those who are serving God are known. Are there times where it appears like, I'm doing so much. This is all I need from you to do. But you see, in that distress, you put yourself aside. That's what servant. Dolos. To put yourself aside and just say, you know what? This is for Jesus. That's what servants do. Bible says, those who serve among you, they are the greatest among you. They are the greatest among you. We are proving ourselves as diaconians. The ministers of God, impatient, in affliction, necessities, distresses. Hallelujah. So, all believers are meant to serve. I remember, US president, was it Abraham Lincoln? I think, was it Abraham Lincoln? Who said, do not ask what your country can do for you. He said, ask what you can do for your country. I think Nigerians should imbibe that a lot. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Hey, that's what you have been asking since. How about asking what you can do for your country? I put it like this. Don't ask what the church can do for you. Ask, what can I do for the church of God? What can I do? What can I do here? What can I just fix? Is there anything? Is there any way I can help? Those who will be chief among you, Matthew 20, 27, they will be your servants. Matthew 20. That where we're coming from? I learned something. Okay. So those who will be chief among you, let them be your servant. The word servant is the word dolos. D-O-U-L-O-S. You must have heard that before. A bond servant. To bind yourself. To bind yourself. It means you'll be subjective to someone. So a bond servant means you're not serving on your own terms. So something you're obligated to do. Now, you know, let me give you two instances. Imagine your needs are met in the name of Jesus, yeah? But if you borrow money from the bank, and let's say you took a loan of $3 million. That's a good loan, yeah? Amen? When someone are taking $3 million, not all this Pampe loan, I have 7K. They've been threatening me. Some loan company, they will say, we will report. Some money the obituary. Say, this person does no longer exist. So the person will contact them and say, oh, so you're alive. Just 7,000 naira. He said, 3-5. Say, this is a criminal. 3-5. People don't even forgive. But, $3 million, or $300 million. I said, hey, your phone, Masalo, say, Kitty. They'll find you. $300 million. You know, you are obliged to pay back. Or unlike, someone messages you on WhatsApp, say, I need a favor. Sometimes I'm using my favor. I need a favor, so I'm using it. I need a favor from you. Can you give me 3,000 naira or 300,000 naira? Say, right now, maybe the way the economy is, I might not be able to afford 300,000 naira for you. I'm sorry. Next week, you know the scope people use now. Say, yeah, that's yesterday. If you ask yesterday, I wouldn't have bought that, you know. I wouldn't have bought that. So that means you are not obliged to give the person the money. Right? But imagine telling the bank, after getting 300,000, say, if the bank, if you have asked yesterday, they say, if you like, we should ask next year. Okay? Ego. Right? Why? Because you are obligated to pay back. That is bond servant. That is dolos. Something you are obligated to do. So Jesus says, the one who is going to be the greatest among you will be obliged to serve. Be obliged to serve. You know, there are people who are in units and it's fake unit. You're in the music team. You're in the music team. But you don't attend rehearsals. Or you attend rehearsals, but when it's time to pray, you don't come for prayer. I'm literally with them now, so that face to face, let's talk. So when it's time to pray, you don't pray. Or when they say they are giving for a cause, you don't give. Look at me now. You don't write. You'll be writing. Let them be looking at me. When it's time to give, you don't give. When it's time to pray, you don't pray. You say you're in music team. You say you're serving, but you're not serving. That's not service. Service is, I am under subjection to do as we are told. And that's the church of God. No, I want to express myself. You don't express yourself in service. Serving God means you have left yourself behind and you have followed after one true holy passion for Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are bonded to serve. You are in the church to serve. Remember when Paul was talking to Philemon, and let me give you the background. There was a guy, Onesimus, who Paul knew. You see that in Hebrews. And Onesimus, the background is that Onesimus stole from Philemon. Believer. He was not a believer then, yeah? Stole from Philemon, ran away. Philemon was a very wealthy man. And then Paul now got Onesimus saved. Now Onesimus is about to start attending church. Onesimus say, disciple, let me tell you something. There was a man like that. You know him. Do you know Philemon? He said, Philemon! I know Philemon. He said, it's a long story. When I was in the world, I took $12 million from Philemon. It was money to start missions. See, that was when unknown times. But you spend the money in known times. And he said everything. Then Paul wrote to Philemon and said, you know what? There's a guy that was working with you. You're going to accept him back. His name is Onesimus. And in the letter, Paul was anticipating that Philemon would do like this. Paul said, in verse 19 said, you know that you owe me your life. Why? Because he has served Philemon with the gospel. You owe the church where you knew Jesus, where you grew in God's word, where you were instructed, you owe the church to serve, to be available, to do something for Jesus. So I owe the church my life. I owe the church my obedience. Amen. So the great one, or the greatest one, is the one we serve. The greatest one is the one we serve. What about I just use my money? You understand? So I see that the church toilet needs a lot of cleaning and all that. You know what? This is what I'll do. This is what I'll do. There's a very rich people talk. They're flinging the keys. All those uncles that used to lie. I tell you, I'll get you PS2. There's no uncle that doesn't get PS2. PS2 now is gone. If you give PS2 now, I'll probably dash someone. Yeah. What we'll do is I'll get a cleaning agency. They'll just take care of the church. So, that could only change there, maybe. So, if I cannot do it, my money will do it. That's not service. Service is you will do it and your money will do it. Imagine everybody here decides not to come for service and we just put money on the chair. So I come here this morning, say, Matthew 1, and I'm looking at 10k. 100k in chair. Matthew 1, open to Matthew 1. 100k cannot open. Amen. So you serve, and your money serves. That's what I'm saying. Say you serve. That's not loud. Say you serve, and your money will serve. Exactly. That's God's plan for us. So you are in the works team. And what I'm going to do is that in the coming weeks, hello, look up. Every department will take the role of works department. We are going to do it rotation. Is that clear? I want you to, those are you are editing messages, you are designing. You are all going to go and sweep. You're all going to mop the toilet. You say, I'm usher. You will usher the toilet. The ones who, the music team, especially and Co, you know, Meshimalo for toilets. We are going to all learn to do the basic things. Now, I'm not saying works team is the idea of service. I'm just saying
It is base. I want you to humble yourself. You see, without your nice suit, you are going to hang it. And you are going to take the plunger. Or you are going to take the mop. And you are going to clean. Is that clear? So, arrange that. Week after week with Bro Ayo. Let's know which department is taking care of cleaning for that weekend. Is that okay? Praise the Lord! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord! Above Jesus! Ah. Me dirty man, I'm saying. Above Jesus! Ogo! Aha! Exactly. We are all here to serve. We are all here to serve. So, Matthew 18:1. Start closing the verse. So at the same, so we said, don't worry about yourself, we said, questions, right? Intelligent questions. We can ask questions. Who is the greatest? And say, does God want us to be great in our natural endeavor? Huh? Huh? God told Abraham, I will make you great. Of course, that was talking both in the natural and in the supernatural. I will make you great. So God has nothing against the believer excelling. In fact, I want you to excel in your natural endeavor. I want it so much. But that does not equate greatness in the kingdom of God. So, Matthew 18:1. So, there came his disciples saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in their midst and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, God cannot use you in his kingdom. So, believers ought to be like little children to serve. God does not negate your greatness in the natural, but he wants you to be great in the kingdom. And what does that entail? It entails being like a little child. Bringing yourself low. Not because you're low. Bringing yourself low so that God can use you. He said he will resist the proud. And he will give his grace to the humble. Those who are going to subject themselves, who are going to leave away self, who are going to leave the fact that, they just became the managing partner of a firm, who are just going to leave the fact that, they just got promoted to an executive position, they're going to leave all that behind and say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. You know what? I want to serve Jesus. What is there that I can do here? What can I help with? That is what God expects from believers. Is that clear? So where is your greatness? I'm asking you this morning. Your greatness will be in your service. Look at the Romans 16. I want to round up so that I can give an instruction. Romans 16, verse 22. I, Tertius, wrote this epistle. I salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, that's verse 23 now, and of the whole church salutes you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salutes you. And Quartus, our brother. Look at what Paul just did there. He said, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city. What do you call that? The chamberlain of the city is like your finance director, your finance minister, almost like a CBN governor. And he's a believer. Paul is mentioned in Romans 16, servants. He started with Phoebe, our sister Phoebe. He was mentioning servants in the church. And guess who he mentions? Erastus, the CBN governor. He says, he salutes you. So we can have people who are great in the natural. People think that those who serve the Lord is because they don't have anything to do with their time. I've got a lot to do with my time. A lot. A lot. if you leave me like this, there are a lot of things to do. But serving the Lord comes first. We seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. There's the idea that those who come to church, those who serve, those who make themselves available is because maybe they are not so busy in their careers, or maybe because maybe they don't have jobs, or maybe because they don't even take their career serious. No! It's because they take Jesus serious. And you don't, but you will. Amen. Amen. Come on. You are a servant of the Lord. The art of a servant is in you. Amen. The art of a servant that wants to serve Jesus, that wants to know him more, that wants to be useful in the kingdom of God. That's what you have in the name of Jesus. So, the house of God is not for those who have anything, who don't have any other thing to do with their time. No. How great are you? Service is greatness. The key is to humble yourself. So, who are you? Look around. Is there something you can point to and say, it's because I joined in this. I'm a big part of this. Is there something you can point to? Is there something you can point to? You say, I'm a part of this team. Those who are involved with GHC media, they you know, they can only, when people are sharing, I love that. They can only say, you know, I envy Bro Pam, yeah? Because I get messages from quite some other nations. I remember, in January, I got a message from Kenya. I remember there was a time a pastor reached out to you from Ghana. I love that. And, you know, not even, I think it was to him directly. You see, people listen to teachings. You're not the pastor. But people are listening to teachings and you know you are a big part of this. What other joy? What other joy there is than serving the Lord in that capacity? What can you point to and say, you know what? This is where I am serving Jesus. You see that pastor's mic that is working? Now we run now. You see the display? I am looking forward to doing it every Sunday. You see the floor that is clean? I want to be a part of it. What are you doing in the house of God? I'll close for me. How available are you in the last week? So my service, my resources, my time, are there for the Lord. Give yourself to the house of God. Look at John 13. In verse 15, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. John 13. Are you there? These are lessons. Yeah, I know a lot of people will teach resurrection this weekend, how Jesus rose and all that, which is good. But one of the vital lessons of the resurrection is to put yourself aside for God's use. That's one of the basic, most remarkable things that Jesus did. Let this God pass over me, but not my will. Let your will be done. The basics of the resurrection story. Let your will be done. Sometimes we are hot. Sometimes we are sad. Sometimes we are occupied. We're busy. But what is Jesus asking us? Put yourself aside. And let us walk as the house of God. In the garden of God. Let's dress and keep it. As he instructed us in verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So he washed your feet and says, this is an example for you. This is an example for you. So you ask yourself, did you serve God this morning? Did you serve God this morning? Because some people have been here yesterday to rehearse, to sweep, to arrange. Some people made the service. Some people put the chair you're sitting on. Some people actually dressed it to be that way. Some people opened the hall. Some people ensured that we had the generator on. You know, a lot of things. What did I do for the Lord this morning? What did I do? It's a big question to ask. The greatest among you is your servant. The one who has left himself. Who has said, you know what? I can achieve anything in the natural. In the church of God, I am here to serve. I might be a director in my place of work. I might be an executive. But when I come to the church, I'm here with a humble heart to give Jesus the glory. To make his name known and not mine. To be his hands in a world that needs healing. Let's pray for ourselves this morning. Jesus, help me to serve. The glory of the youth. No, have your seats. The glory of the youth is their strength. To serve you now. Amen. Look up before we pray. You know, there's a story. I think I've said it before. There's this woman. I think it was 70 something or 80 something. And so the children wanted to get her an apartment. And she said, you know you are doing, you know where to get the apartment from me. They said, we know. He said, somewhere that is close to your church. I said, thank God you know. And she has been in that same church for about, she said 50 something or 60 something years. And she has been in the choir. Said she was in the choir since 16. And now she's about 86. That's called service. Tell me, she was not offended. Over the years, 70 years. 70 years, you think that nobody has ever offended her? You think that the pastor has ever said something that hurt her? Huh? You think she has never been busy for 70 years? But that's what happens when we put ourselves aside. And we say, you know what? This world will pass away one day. But I want to be used by Jesus. And I want that in that book of life, in quote, my name is there. Not just there, but among those who live their lives for Jesus. Who came in the name of Jesus? Who did not strive for vainglory or for personal gain? who put everything aside and said, Jesus, use me. Use me to save the whole world. Amen. Pray for yourself. Help me, Jesus, to maintain a humble spirit, a humble heart to serve you, regardless. The spirit of the resurrection, of Easter, where it is always about your will, where it's always about what you want to do, even though I want the cup to pass, but it's about you. It's about you, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Give me a pure heart to serve. I ask for that one pure holy passion. That one pure holy passion to chase after you. That one pure holy passion to always run after you. To always want to serve you. To always want to do something that brings glory to your name. To always want to make you proud. To always want to bless the heart. Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me. To be like a child in your kingdom. That's where I should see greatness. Help me to always see greatness as serving you. Not to be deceived by the world's accolades, by the world's praises or criticism, but to stick with you, to stand by you, and to work for you. That's what I want to do, Jesus. It's another year to serve, to progress in service, and in honor of your name. Help me, Jesus, to stay humble. Even in whatever capacity I find myself in your local church. Not to exercise dominion the way the Gentiles will. The way the princes of the world will. No. But to be a servant. 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 To be your servant.